Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG, whenever we feel like it. Ethan and Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into the Giants' fifth overall and seventh overall picks, you know what we got to do. Take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We're back. That was pretty good for an intro, considering the hiatus that we've been on. But we're back. We're back and we're happy. And the Giants crushed round one. Crushed. I mean, I don't think I've seen a single fan unhappy. So let's get into it. Let's break it down. I'll start with this. Did the first four picks unfold how you thought they would?
The Stingley thing came on late. But like before the draft, like an hour before, I figured this was how it was going to play out. I thought the Jets taking Gardner was a surprise. I thought they were going to go Jermaine Johnson at four. I never thought that they were going to take a tackle, even though the Ike Ekwonu love was there. But yeah, pretty much. I thought Trayvon Walker one, Aiden Hutchinson two. Three was, you know, I thought potentially Kayvon could have gone three to Houston, but Stingley was a surprise. I always felt like the two tackles, Icky and Evan Neal, and then obviously Charles Cross was going to be available for the Giants at 5 and 7.
Right. So I had released about, I think, 3 top 10 mocks on Twitter about 24 hours before the draft. And leading up to, you know, a few hours before the draft, based on what everyone was seeing on Twitter, I sort of narrowed it down that the first four picks were going to go as they went. I think it was Connor Hughes, who's the Jets guy for The Athletic, said that, you know, all week, all he's been hearing is Sauce Gardner praise inside the building. The Stingley stuff, like you said, came on late, really within the last week or so. He started to gain a lot of steam to go third overall. And then, you know, you mentioned Jermaine Johnson. I never really understood the hype with him to go as high as he was projected to go, especially when you consider the market for receiver that we've seen this past offseason with a lot of guys getting paid big money and the premium that teams are putting on these positions now, knowing that they can get cost-controlled receivers for 4 or 5 years before having to fork over the big bucks. So, you know, you sort of figured that there would be a run on receivers, you know, in the tens, early teens area, which we saw. My surprise, and I tweeted this, was the Giants going Thibodeau at 5, because, and this, I guess, there was a lot of chatter the last 3 days before the draft that, ooh, you know, there are some people, mainly Holmes inside the Lions building, that really like Kayvon Thibodeau. And if that sentiment was true, and a lot of teams had Hutchinson and Thibodeau graded more similarly than the average fan, then selecting him at 5 makes sense. That way you don't risk the Panthers taking him or someone trading with the Panthers, because the Panthers don't have any picks this year.
That's the X factor right there. Was somebody was going to move up at 6 to take Thibodeau, I believe.
Exactly. And we had seen a lot of chatter from the beat writers the last week that there were going to be a lot of trades, and a lot of teams with multiple picks were going to try to move up for those quote-unquote premium positions. Cornerback if Sauce or Stingley fell. Defensive end if, you know, Thibodeau or Hutchinson somehow fell.
Or Walker.
Wide receiver. So, again, if the Giants, as Joe Shane said, had Evan Neal and Ike Ekwonu ranked similarly on the board, take Thibodeau at 5, let the Panthers do what they're going to do. You'll have one of them available. It was absolutely perfect. So ecstatic. And you know, I've been, you start watching more highlights of the players. The best chick flick out there is the movie Crazy Stupid Love. Have you ever seen that with Ryan Gosling?
I've seen bits and pieces.
And Steve Carell, the goat chick flick. There's so a line in
I have
that
HBO,
movie.
Right?
Yeah.
I got HBO on my, I'll tell you funny, I got HBO on my, and Cinemax and all these movie channels on my cable. And like, that's a movie where I'm like, oh, let me just put on HBO, right? And that'll be a movie on, I'll just watch bits and pieces of it. But yeah,
it's a good passive, right. You know, having the background. But there's a line that Ryan Gosling uses in the movie. I believe it's, you're the perfect combination of sexy and cute. Well, Kayvon Thibodeau is the perfect combination of bendy and powerful. Because when you watch him, it, like, of all the pass rushers that went in the first round, I think he's got the best bend out of any
easily
of them.
Easily.
And he can combine it with the power. And you saw how ecstatic Joe Shane was that he was available at 5.
Right.
So I am, like, over the moon. And this guy has the personality from New York. He's an L.A. guy. You know, go across the country, New York, it's the perfect fit. His personality shines. The type of personality, I mean, we say that it's a personality that we couldn't really see the previous regime buying into, but then you look at some of the characters that they drafted and you're like, okay, well, maybe. But love the comment from Joe Shane. I'll try to pull up the exact quote, but he basically was asked about Kayvon Thibodeau's demeanor
exactly
and personality.
The quote about
and he was talking about
athletes changing.
How, exactly. The league and the athletes are changing, and we have to adapt to that.
Right.
Okay? Not the other way around.
Right.
It's so refreshing to hear that type of mindset come out and understand that, you know, it's not just the style of football that's constantly changing and you have to adjust to, but also the types of people and personalities that are coming into the league and the marketing that goes along with it. And I think this is going to be a really good marriage with KT and the Giants.
You know, when it comes to the NFL draft, there are three things that when they meet, there's nothing better, right? Those three things is obviously, number one is need.
Yep.
Number two is draft stock of a player, draft value of a player, right? You don't want to reach for a guy. And number three is positional value. Mm-hmm. Ethan, last night, all three of those things happened for the Giants, not once, but twice.
Twice.
Understand, when the draft process first started, and for a lot of people, for Giant fans, it started in October, right? but when it really started in February and after the Super Bowl, Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal, there was a debate about which one would go number one overall.
Like, yeah, there were people. There was. About, I remember there was a point where Evan Neal, for a very long time,
was
projected to go the first overall pick.
Right, and the reason for that is I think Evan Neal is the number one player in this draft.
Okay,
I do. I believe he is the best player in this draft. He is a cornerstone.
To me personally, it's Aiden Hutchinson, but
yeah,
to each their own.
I think he is the cornerstone player in this draft. Right below him is where I have Aiden Hutchinson and Kayvon Thibodeau neck and neck. And if you were to ask me, you can pick which one you want, I would really have to sit down and really, really think about it. The Giants landing a premier edge rusher in this draft, while also landing a premier offensive tackle in this draft, it is the most...
In a draft that was widely considered to be a weak class.
There were no quarterbacks that went ahead. I never bought into the Trayvon Walker hype. I understand
Me
the
neither.
Upside and the athleticism, but I always thought Kayvon Thibodeau and Aiden Hutchinson were above him. But for the Giants to get Kayvon, and I didn't think that they were going to take him. I thought they were fixated on taking a tackle at 5 and then moving back at number 7. I didn't think Kayvon was in the cards. Them taking Kayvon tells me that there is a real philosophical change here. And we talk about the personality stuff. This is a really, really, really good football player the Giants got. We've talked about, you and I have talked about on this podcast for years about your 5 most important positions that you need to compete, in this league. Obviously, we talk about the quarterback position. Right after that, we talk about your offensive tackles. It used to be just left tackle, but now right tackle is just as important. And then third, it's edge rushers. You need an alpha edge rusher. And I believe the Giants got that. And I hate to make comments like this. Like, the feeling that I had last night. Like, I was sitting there, right? Like I said, Evan Neal I thought was the best player in the draft. When the Giants took Kayvon Thibodeau, it was like, wow. The emotions that I had, I can't even explain to you right now. And then I had to compose, because I had to turn around. I'm like, listen, there is a legitimate shot they could land the guy that you think is the best player in the draft at 7 and Evan Neal. Like, I think Evan Neal can play anywhere on the offensive line outside of center. I think he could come in and be a day one left tackle. I'm going to say this. I'm so high on Evan Neal. If the Giants were to come out and say, you know what, we're going to put Neal at left tackle and we're going to move Thomas at right tackle. I'm not saying they should do this, but if they were to make that decision, I wouldn't be like, what the hell are we doing? And now I wouldn't do that, because I think Andrew Thomas has settled into that left tackle spot. But I just think Evan Neal is that good. He could be that good on this offensive line. A great player. And with Thibodeau, the personality, I think one thing people need to really understand, and I think Joe Shane, we just talked about it. A lot of these guys, you know, with the way the NIL is and with the way college sports are changing and guys making money, these young athletes, and I don't want to call them kids, these young athletes, they're starting to understand the business side of it at a much earlier age.
Absolutely agree.
18, 19 years old, you're not thinking about, you know, signing an endorsement deal. You're thinking about, well, not signing a legal endorsement deal. All right, but at 18, 19, you're not thinking about endorsement deals and brand and money and that, right? You're thinking about, okay, I got to get to that NFL thing, the NFL league, and I got to make that money. But for players now, like, and we're going to see this moving forward, and people need to get used to it, guys are going to be thinking about their money. Guys are going to be thinking about their brand, the business side of it, because they have to, because it's a whole – like, it's a billion-dollar industry when we talk about college sports and the NFL. And it's only, like, personally, as a young athlete, if you're, you know, as highly touted as some of these guys are, you would be stupid not to educate yourself on the business side of it. Because essentially, you could be leaving money on the table. You know, the NFL is not guaranteed, no matter who you are. So, the personality is perfect. He's an edge rusher. He talks shit. You know, he can play. And for Giant fans leading up to it, and I put this out a couple weeks ago, you tell me one of the Giants pass rushers that didn't have a personality.
True. Michael they all Strahan did.
Had the biggest personality. OCU Manure had a huge personality.
Yeah.
Justin Tuck had a huge personality. Even Jason Pierre-Paul has a huge personality.
Huge.
Like,
yeah.
That's what the Giants – and if you want to go back to the days of Lawrence Taylor had a huge – like, this personality for an edge rusher shouldn't scare any Giant fan, because we are accustomed to that. And one thing about the branding thing, with the brand and the business side of it, Kayvon Thibodeau, and I think all these athletes know, money, fame, branding, that comes – with how you perform on the field. The better Kayvon Thibodeau is, and I think he's going to be a really, really good player for the Giants. He's going to be an alpha pass rusher. The more money, the more fame, especially in New York, where the Giants are used to putting these pass rushers on pedestals if they perform. And if you don't believe me, just look at the history of the pass rushers in this city. So it's awesome. I'm still trying to wrap my head around what happened yesterday. I am ecstatic. It's crazy to think about. You know, if you would have told me this in February, that the Giants would be picking 5 and 7 and they would land, in my opinion, 1A or 1B edge rusher, and then 1A, I mean, what I call the best player in the draft, and Evan Neal, I wouldn't believe you. But I am ecstatic, man. It's a great night, and I want to say this statement. I'll pass it back to you. And I usually don't like to do these type of things. But 2, 3, you know, 4 years down the road, we're going to look back on last night, and we're going to say that's what changed the Giants, that night. Because I think –
it's bold.
I think what tonight did – or what last night did was it sort of – it was a rebirth of the Giants, in my opinion. Now, obviously, I know it's a, people are going to look at me like, well, there's still questions at a lot of other spots, including quarterback, and I get it. But yesterday, to me, was a different feeling that I haven't had in a very long time as a fan, and I'm very confident in the players that they picked. And so let's play ball, man.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with everything you said. Let's talk about Joe Shane for a minute, sure, because sure. The preparation and the strategy leading up to and into the draft was executed perfectly throughout the entire process. You know, there were a lot of guys that were connected to the Giants. So, you know, Wink loves the physical corners. Like, they want Gardner. You know, at the Mississippi State Pro Day, the Giants coaches did extra work with Charles Cross at right tackle.
What are your thoughts on Charles Cross, by the way?
He's fine. You know, he's probably third on my list of the tackles, if you're asking me about Neil Aquanu and Cross. And that, obviously, that, you know, it played out that way. You know, it wasn't really team preference. I think pretty much everyone had him as the number three of that group. But back to the main point, going back to Jerry Reese, I mean, everyone knew what the Giants wanted to do and who they wanted. During the Gettleman tenure, they got a little bit better at points, but even last year, the Eagles knew that the Giants wanted DeVonta Smith. We need to jump the Giants to get DeVonta Smith. This year, Gardner, Charles Cross,
Evan Neal,
Kayvon Thibodeau having a historically bad interview with the New York Giants.
There was talk all about Trayvon Walker too. Yep.
Yeah, all of these things coming out in the news, out in the media, and given that the Giants, I don't know of a single person that wasn't surprised that Kayvon Thibodeau was the pick at 5. I was shocked. I mean, all my mocks, I had him being available at 7. Like, I thought the Giants would have had a preference at offensive tackle, that all three would have been available. They would have picked their favorite. The Panthers would have picked the next best favorite that they had, and then the Giants would have Kayvon Thibodeau just fall into their lap. They took him at 5. The rumblings were that his personality was too strong, that he had an awful interview. Obviously not the case, but that's what everyone out there was led to believe. And on top of that, Joe Shane, after the first round, said that they had 6 players that they coveted, and if any of those were not available, they had 3 teams in place ready to trade. That is preparation.
Yeah.
That is the type of planning.
And they have parameters that a GM should have. They had parameters for the trade in place too, with a couple of them.
Yeah. So not only did they do a great job of spreading misinformation, but they had plan A, B, C, D through Z in place for every single scenario that would have played out. And that's not to say previous regimes, you know, didn't have contingency plans, but their original plans were likely known by other teams in the draft that allowed them to navigate as so. This year, not the case. And the Giants got 2 cornerstone players at 5 and 7. Just an absolute masterclass from not only Joe Shane, but both Joes. Joe Douglas, too. I mean, I thought the Jets had a tremendous draft. So, you know, something's going on, man, because the Mets and the Yankees are fucking crushing it. The Jets and the Giants look like they're starting to figure out how to be real football teams. Something's going on right now. It's getting a little scary out here. It
must be the water in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it was about beginning of a couple weeks ago where I started to get the feel like, okay, this is like, it's the Thibodeau thing is not happening. But, you know, it's crazy that, you know, when we talk about Thibodeau, like, there was a lot of stuff made public. Like, the Giants did a lot of work on him, you know. Joe Shane traveled from the owners meeting in Florida and went down to Eugene, Oregon, and he spent time and he went to the pro day. He didn't go to the pro day. You know, you don't fly across the country, you know, to watch, you know, the corner at Oregon or the safety at Oregon who's projected to go in the third round. You went down there to watch Kayvon Thibodeau, and then we learned last night that they, you know, they spend a lot of time with him at dinner. And then, you know, it's crazy because Michael Strahan was at the facility last week, and it was the same day that Thibodeau was you know, coming in for a visit. And we, I guess people didn't just put the two and two together, like, wait, Strahan's in the building, you know, and Thibodeau's in the building. Like, nobody connected those dots. I think Peter King at one point said, you know, that Thibodeau could be in play for the Giants. I think he said that, you know, last week or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what they did was, you know, it took some luck because, you know, if, like, my real, like, something I wonder, like, what would have happened if the Panthers took Charles Cross at 6 and then the Giants sitting there at 7 and you got your choice of Ekwonu? Because I think they had Ekwonu and Neal ahead of Charles Cross. They liked Cross, yeah, but they had those two ahead of them. If, let's say, the Panthers took Charles Cross, then at 7, do the Giants say, hey, let's move back 2 spots? You know, let's have, let's let Seattle have their choice of the tackle, and then let's take a risk that Atlanta won't take that second tackle, and then we can get one at 9. You know what I'm saying? Like, we go from 7 to 9. Seattle takes their preference at 7, and then at 9, with the hope that Atlanta doesn't go, you know, a tackle. And then at 9, we got our choice of what's left. And it could have been, in this case, in this scenario, Ekwonu or Evan Neal. So it's interesting. I thought the way it played out perfectly for the Giants, and the Giants then executed that process perfectly too. Because I do, some of the things that I read last night was that the fear was, you know, outside of the fact that all three were available, there was this thing about the Giants where they felt as though 6 was going to be a spot where a team moves up for Kayvon Thibodeau. And an interesting thing that Joe Shane said and was, when he talked about the edge rusher, he thought that there was a big drop off after Thibodeau, which tells me,
and I agree,
yeah, which tells me where he has, you know, Aiden Hutchinson and Kayvon Thibodeau and maybe even Trayvon Walker. After that, you know, he doesn't have guys like Boye Mafe, Arnold Ebeteke, Myjai Sanders, even David Ojabo in that, you know, realm of possibility. So I'm thrilled, man. Like I said in the opening monologue, I just think that it was a organizational shift what happened yesterday with the Giants. And for them to take Thibodeau and then land Evan Neal, I mean, you can't – it's tough to wrap my head around with what happened. So I am absolutely thrilled. And I was watching Kayvon stuff last night. And I watched so much of Evan Neal coming up into the draft because I fell in love with him. But with Thibodeau, he gets off the ball as quick as
– he's fast.
Yeah. And one person – and this is just – and I don't want to tweet this out because I hate, you know, stuff – I hate the way Twitter reacts to things. It takes it out of context. But when you watch Thibodeau a little bit and then you look at his strong personality, you see a little bit of Von Miller similarities there, right? With the way
that I can see that.
With the way they,
especially the style.
Yeah, the way they talk, like that, the whole style, not just off the field, I'm talking on the field too. Like their style of play is very, very similar. Not saying Thibodeau is going to be Von Miller, because Von Miller is a Hall of Fame player, but you sort of see a little bit that. With Thibodeau, and I'm excited, man. It's been a long time since we had. How many times have you and I talked about alpha edge rusher and the need for an alpha edge rusher?
A million times. And a million times.
Finally, they do it, and let's play ball, man. I am now looking forward to, like the season, and I'm looking forward to
same.
Like I'm ready. So let's go, man.
It has been a very long time since the Giants have drafted players in the first round that I am like incredibly excited to see just play the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the excitement was there for Kadarius Toney a little bit, but you know, shit happens. And
no, even with the Kadarius Toney thing, I remember we sat and we were like, yeah, he's a special player. Yeah, he can do a lot of things. But who's the offensive coordinator?
Right.
You know, like, who's the head coach? So with this, it's like you're excited about the head coach, you're excited about the defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale, and it's like there is a level of excitement there where you're like, okay, I want to see what happens. There's no like, man, I don't know if Wink can tap into this, or I don't know if Dable can, you know, tap into this player. So you got to be thrilled. You got to be excited if you're a Giant fan. This is what we've been asking for, right? We need edge rushers. We need offensive line. I think the Giants got 1A or 1B, an edge rusher, and I thought that they got the best offensive lineman in this draft. I'll even go as far as saying best overall player.
Sure. All right, so we talked Giants. I briefly mentioned the Jets. I got to bring up the Eagles.
Yes, you did.
I have to discuss the Eagles real quick. Yeah. Friend of the program, Jordan Ronan. Constantly, to us in public, wherever, singing the praises of the Eagles front office and how smart they are and how analytical they are. They crushed it. They crushed it again.
You like the AJ Brown trade?
I love it. Because think about it this way. I actually think that this is one of the few instances where both teams benefited. So I have been of the opinion for a very long time that Jalen Hurts is not a franchise quarterback. Eye test, the numbers. I think the Eagles are smart enough to know that as well. The Eagles traded up. They got basically a freak athlete to play on the interior. I mean, you look at this guy's scores, Jordan Davis. He's a freak. I tweeted, like, this guy is going to give the Giants fits for years. I truly believe that. He is a very good player. So they got better on the defensive line. Then they traded their other first rounder to get a bona fide number one receiver. Yes, he's got injury issues, and that's fine. It's definitely a risk, but this guy is a top receiver. The Eagles have swung and missed on so many receivers in the first round, second round, over the last few years, that to get a guy that's proven for their second first round pick this year, while still keeping both of their firsts for next year, which they will undoubtedly use to trade up for whichever quarterback they covet the most next year, that's a win for them. That's a win. They kept both firsts next year. They got what I believe to be a cornerstone defensive line player, and they got a true number one receiver. Like, how can you not like that?
I like it, but I'm not. I don't think they're winners, and I'm not trying to.
No, they don't have either. A quarterback yet, but their foundation is there. Like they have the picks next year to get their quarterback.
I hate talking about next year when we have to wait until the season plays out, but here's what I'll say about the
But we can, because in this instance, you think Jalen Hurts is a franchise quarterback? No.
No. But what happens if Jalen Hurts plays well enough where you're not picking in the teens, you're picking in the 20s?
But that's why you have two picks.
Well, is it going to cost you just two picks to come up next
year? No, it might cost them more, but like it's going to be one pick that originally wasn't theirs.
What happens to the teams? Because what we've seen is that teams like to trade back, but they don't like to trade that far back. So there's so many scenarios. Here's what I'll say about what the Eagles did. I like A.J. Brown. I do think he's a premier receiver. He is a true wide receiver one. But I think you can find an A.J. Brown in the draft, in this draft.
Well, the Titans hope they did in Treylon Burks.
That's the thing. I think Treylon Burks could end up being better than A.J. Brown.
But again, we don't know that. We know what A.J. Brown – we know what he is.
We don't. We do. You're right. But trading for him and then the long contract after you invested in Devontae Smith, it's – to me, I'm like, okay, all right. I mean, you needed a receiver. You went, okay, that's fine. All right.
He's got the injury issues, but you've basically locked yourself into a 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown receiver. Done. And all it cost you was a first.
I don't think he's a 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown receiver. I think he's.
I mean, he had 1,000 yards his rookie season. He had 1,000 yards 2020, and then he was injured for a good chunk of last year. He put up 869. I mean, he's a good player.
Good player. I'm not saying he's not a good player.
He had 8 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns, and then again last year 5 because he's banged up.
Thousand yards, and you know he'll give you the 5. He's more closer to 5 touchdowns a season than 8 than 10 consistently. I like AJ Brown. I'm not trying to be a hater. I like AJ Brown. I'm just saying I felt like this is a very strong class of receivers. I think cost control is big here. Paying a lot of money for AJ Brown.
I can get that.
Okay. Let's see what happens. Do I think this is a slam dunk guarantee everything is going to work out for the Eagles? No. I don't. I think there is some concern there. I think the reason why this is talked about the way it is because the Arizona Cardinals got to be one of the most stupidest organizations that I in this league. How does Steve Keim still have a job? Like a first round pick for Hollywood Brown, who dropped more touchdowns last year than touchdowns he had. That to me, where I'm like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah, that was perplexing.
Look, again, if I'm a team that needed a receiver in this draft class, and seeing how low it costs for the Detroit Lions went from 32 to 12 and did a second round pick swap and gave up a third round pick. Think about that. They went from 32 to 12 and gave up a third round pick and swapped 34. And I think the Minnesota Vikings picked like 50 something.
Crazy.
So you fall back 17 spots in the second round or 20 spots in the second round. And then you give up a third round pick and they got a receiver. So,
Who'd they take? Jameson Williams?
Jameson Williams.
He's my favorite receiver in the class. But
thank you. It cost them a second and a third round. A pick swap and a third round pick. And they got him for 5 years on cost control. That's my point. All these teams trading for receivers. I like what the Jets did more with Garrett Wilson. I think Garrett Wilson is going to be an absolute stud. If Garrett Wilson was taken by the Giants, I would be like, wow, receiver 7. But then I would remember, hey, Garrett Wilson's a very good player.
Yeah.
It's a deep receiving class. There's still a lot of good receivers available. That's why I'm not flipping out that the Packers are going to take a receiver. We can talk about what the Packers did. But look, the name of the game is get a receiver on a rookie contract. He plays well enough. And when time comes, here's a first-round pick. Baltimore just did it. I think Treylon Burks is going to be great for Tennessee. Look, when it comes to the Eagles, cool. Look, the trade is fine compared to what the Cardinals gave up for Marquise Brown. But you pay a guy, got a little bit of hamstring issues. I don't know, man. I was like, okay.
All right.
Cool. You know? Like, oh my God, the Giants got to get a quarterback. Like, no. I'm just like, okay.
Let's go. No, because Jalen Hurts doesn't scare you.
I'm not that low on Jalen. Like, I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. I don't think he's.
I think he's very mediocre.
That's fine. I'll agree with you there.
All right. Round two tonight. Round two and three. Excuse me.
Yes.
Giants picking 36. 36 and what?
36, and then they got 2/3. One from the Miami last year.
Yep.
36, 67, and 81.
Okay. Let's talk about Christian Watson.
Oh, my favorite player.
That's why I brought him up.
I like him a lot. To me, that's why I'm like, man. This is a good receiving class. I really, really like Christian Watson. I think he's a dynamic receiver, and I think those types of receivers are always fun to have. You can do it all with this guy. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah,
he's
very
good.
Because
he's such a good route runner.
Yeah,
he's got good size. I mean, he's 6'4", 211, and he ran a 4.3 or something like that, 4.4. Good arms, wings. I mean, he is really, really good player. And when you watch him, and again, I hate to do this, but I see a little bit of like a Terry McLaurin style receiver. He's a little bit bigger than Terry McLaurin, but I think this is a potential wide receiver one. George Pickens, there's a little bit of injury stuff there. And then on top of that, there's some off-field stuff, off-the-field stuff. I like Pickens. Think he's got a pretty, pretty big ceiling. I just, Christian Watson, man, so much fun to watch. If he's a pick at 36, I mean, you thought I was happy last night. Factor that in with tonight.
A lot of people are going to question it because of the Giants.
Well, this is what's happening right now, right? Here's what's happening right now. Everyone's looking at around the league, right? Giant fans are like, oh my God, the Eagles traded for that receiver. Oh, the Cowboys got that. Oh, the Washington took a receiver. Oh, we need corners. Relax. Stop looking at...
It's a multi-year process.
Yeah, stop looking at the position the person plays. Look at the player. Would you rather have... Let's say we're in this draft, right? And at 36, you got Janoris Jenkins available, and you got Terry McLaurin available. Who are you taking? Let's say both are rookies coming in, right? You know their career. You're taking Terry McLaurin because you think he's going to be a better player than Janoris Jenkins. That's my point. Is like, don't stop looking at positions. Look at the player. If the Giants double up on the offensive line today,
but my original point was teams are going to question the need and the need of a wide receiver for the Giants. But I think if you look at it in a vacuum, that need exists. Like Darius Slayton is to steal a term that you just used, is dog water. Kenny Golladay. I mean, listen, we were huge fans of the Kenny Golladay signing. Was he totally misused? Yes. Was he injury prone? Yes.
Yes. Big money contract? Yes.
Do we know if Joe Shane wants that on the books? I don't know. Maybe that's something he tries to get out of in a year or two. There's a lot of uncertainty there. Kadarius Toney is not showing up for voluntary workouts. Was injured.
Now he is.
Yeah. He was injured for most of his rookie year. Yeah. We don't know. Sterling Shepard, big injury history. Gone on a 1-year deal.
Yeah, like.
So, they have a need beyond this year, potentially a big one. And like you said, and like we spoke about earlier, wide receiver, based on these contracts, premium position. So if you can get a guy that you think has potential, especially at 36, if you love one of these guys, that's a totally fine pick for me.
Who is who's the Giants' number 3 receiver right now? depth chart. Sterling Shepard?
Toney?
But who's their second receiver?
Shepard? I mean...
Let's say, okay, so you got...
KG.
Kenny Golladay, Kadarius Toney, the third receiver, let's say it's Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard might not even be ready for the start of the season.
Right.
Well, then you got Darius Slayton. Well, really? We're banking on Darius Slayton as wide receiver 3 now again. Okay.
True.
Made that mistake before. My point is the need is there. And yeah. If they take a receiver, again, premier position, cost control, good player. It's a need, man. It's people don't want to look at it because they look at the depth chart and they say, oh, we got Toney, we got Golly. No, you need more than that. So I think it's a need. I think round 3 is going to be interesting because there's been talk about them being high on James Cook, the running back out of Georgia, who I do like, by the way. If they take James Cook, let's say, in the 3rd round, right, how does – because 3rd round is not a – it's still, you expect a 3rd round pick to perform in rookie season. I mean, how do we handle that going into the, because there's a lot of people that have this preconceived notion that Saquon Barkley is, like the Giants are all in on him, or they're all in on him on this season. Like they want him to perform well, and they probably do, but they also want to address the running back position or could want to address the running back position for the next 3 years. Because Barkley's career with the Giants could be over after this year. So if they take, a running back in the 3rd round, then you're looking at it like, okay, that shows us what they think about Saquon's future. And then there's an entire wild card here, Ethan, that we need to talk about. I don't think this is going to happen, but at this point, you can't rule out them taking a quarterback at 36.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong.
One quarterback went in the first round, Kenny Pickett. Yeah. Giants could be at 36, and Malik Willis could be there. What are their thoughts on Malik Willis?
Giants didn't pick up fifth-year option on Daniel Jones. Hey, it's possible.
The draft falls certain ways. I mean, Lamar Jackson at one point went 32. You think the Ravens went into that draft thinking we're going to draft a quarterback? No, but things happen. Things happen. Then, you know, you start looking at the quarterback. You're like, well, I didn't like him at 5 or 7, but holy shit, he's at the 36? Okay. So, it's going to be a fun night, too. I think we're in for some surprises. I do think we're going to see how Giant fans were universally united last night with what happened. I'm interested to see what happens
tonight. Tonight could be very different.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun night. I think people are going to be surprised by who the Giants take, where they take them, because the first round we sort of there was a consensus among who the top players were. Now you get to the second round, and now we start to learn, you know, the Giant brass, the front office, might view needs a lot differently than how we view them. They might look at certain positions and say, we need a player. And we're looking at it like, no, we got these players. So this is where we're going to learn about how the Giants view this roster tonight and where the needs are, where the long-term needs are.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
David Ojabo.
I liked it.
That one's going to be an interesting one to follow.
Yeah, that is going to be an interesting one to follow. Not at 36. I think they're going to be
not at 36. 36. No. Third, one of the third round picks. If he's there.
Third round. I mean, yeah. Why not? What's the saying? You can't have enough pass rushers, right?
Hey. Maybe we get a little NASCAR going with Thibodeau, Aziz, and Ojabo.
It's gonna be interesting. I'll look up after we get off. I'll look up where people think about it. He tore his Achilles, right? It was an Achilles injury.
Yeah,
right?
It was an Achilles injury.
Yeah. So yeah.
I don't really think there's any consensus. I think that a lot of people like us, like more draft analysts too, are under the assumption that he will be available in the third round, but nothing is a guarantee. So
it's going to be fun, man. I'm telling you, I just have a feeling tonight for the Giants. Overall, it's going to be – there's going to be teams, and I'm going to put the Giants into one of that possibility, that are going to take a quarterback, and their fan base is going to be like, what the hell are we doing? How can we take a quarterback?
Well, but they're – you know – there are still a lot of teams that were rumored to be, go quarterback at some point in the first round, maybe in the second round, like Seattle.
Would it shock you if Tennessee took a quarterback?
No, that's the second team I was going to mention. Wouldn't shock me at all. Good friend Dan Duggan just actually tweeted out potential targets at 36 who had pre-draft visits with the Giants: Travis Jones, UConn defensive tackle; Logan Hall, Houston defensive end. I like Logan Hall a lot.
Logan Hall's a very good player.
Yeah. Breece Hall, Iowa State running back.
He's a very good running back, by the way.
He is.
He's a very good running
back. And Christian Harris, Alabama linebacker. So a lot of good players that are left for the Giants.
Yeah.
So this is going to be fun.
I'm telling you, man, the Giants are going to take a player. Okay, I think they're going to take a running back fairly high today. I would not be surprised if running back's not the pick at 36. Can I say that?
Sorry, say that again.
Running back? I would not be surprised if running back is not the pick at 36.
Is not the pick at 36?
Is the pick at 36.
Is, okay. I would be surprised if 36 was a running back.
What would you do if they draft a running back at 36?
I'd be upset.
You would?
Yeah.
Even Breece Hall? Breece Hall's a good back.
Of course he's a good back, but
36? You're still one of those. It's still too early for you to take a running back.
36, I want Like day one playing like 90% of snaps type of guy.
I got you.
Like if Breece Hall is going to – and listen, the Giants do need a running back. But not someone that's going to be playing 35% of snaps at 36 overall behind Saquon Barkley.
I'm very I guess you can call it petty. I want to see people's – like I sort of want to root for a running back at 36
just to see how the anti-Saquon crowd reacts, yeah.
Not the anti-Saquon, the pro-Saquon crowd. I want to see how they react to this.
Well, they're just going to flip it around. They're going to flip it around. They're going to be like, oh, what? I thought it was too early to take a running back. I thought they've all got to be seventh round or undrafted because they're fucking a bunch of babies. Unbelievable. But you know that's going to be the narrative.
I like N'Kobe Dean. That's my real target for the Giants at 36.
Linebacker?
Yeah. I think he can be a quarterback of your defense. Very good leader. Was a leader on that Georgia defense. Clean prospect. I'm surprised he fell out of the first round. I'm surprised Devin Lloyd fell as long as into the 20s. But N'Kobe Dean to me is really I like a lot. Andrew Booth Jr., the corner out of Clemson that a lot of Giant fans are clamoring about. Doesn't wow me. I mean, if they take him, I'll be like, okay, that's fine, whatever. But not somebody that I'm like, oh my god, we have to draft this guy. Kobe Bryant, the corner. Out of Washington, right? Or is that Cincinnati? I think he's Cincinnati. I get.
I know McDuffie was out of Washington.
McDuffie was out of Washington, yes. Yeah, Cincinnati. Kobe Bryant. I like him too. Good size. But Kyler Gordon was the other one from Washington. I get him and Kobe Bryant mixed up. I like Kyler Gordon too. Jaquan Brisker, the safety Penn State, like him a little bit. Jalen Pritchard, the other safety. And then, you know, they tight end. I think it's such a deep tight end class you can get.
They're going to wait. They're going to wait on tight end.
You can get a contributor on day three. But Logan Hall, I see a little bit of Leonard Williams in Logan Hall, by the way. Yeah, I do. I think a little bit of that. And then if they double up on edge, I was a really big fan of Drake Jackson and Boye Mafe because if they didn't take an edge in the first round. So I did a lot of work on some of those edge guys. But Christian Watson, George Pickens, Sky Moore, too, like them. I think Christian Watson can be a very, very good addition to the Giants. But N'Kobe Dean, to me, right now, at 36, Watson.
That's, yeah, man. If N'Kobe Dean is there, that's another day one starter.
He's got so much range as a linebacker.
Oh, my God, yep.
And there's a leadership quality there that I don't think people
have.
Linebackers that can be leaders. So, yeah, N'Kobe Dean, 36. Like Christian Harris, Alabama linebacker. I just think that Chad Muma, the linebacker from Wyoming, I like him a little bit more. And obviously N'Kobe Dean. So, but a lot of good players on day two. Wish the Giants had an extra second. And then if a team calls and wants to do what the Giants did last year and fall back 8-9 spots, pick up an extra third, you got to consider that as well. But stay pat at 36, man. They're going to get a very, very good player. Very good player. And right now, if you ask me, I am on the N'Kobe Dean train, man. I think him. And then right next to him is Christian Watson, just because I really, really think he's going to be a playmaker in this next level. But
I would be thrilled with either.
Yeah. and then day three, not day three, excuse me, another receiver I like that I didn't mention is John Metchie. The Alabama receiver.
Okay.
Really, really good speed. Really, really good speed. Coming off an injury, too, just like Jameson Williams. If not for his injury, I thought he would have been a first-round talent, a first-round pick. But good receiver. When the draft process first started, they had him in the third round. I think now he's like a late second, could be an early second, seeing how these receivers have gone, so far. So, again, going to be a fun night, man. It's going to be a fun night. Three picks. We'll see if they can get a fourth one. James Bradbury, I don't know what the hell is going to happen with him. When the process first started, I thought definitely by the combine. Then I was like, okay, it has to be by the new league year. And then I was like, okay, by the draft. But he's still a Giant. And I, at this point, I don't know.
When he's,
I don't know.
Maybe he gets moved today.
See. Maybe. Or tomorrow. I don't know.
The saga continues. All right. Let's wrap it up, and then I'm sure at some point in the next few days we'll do a full draft recap. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Talk to you guys in a few days.
Peace. All right. I'll text you.